I'm relying very much on an essay I wrote with two others, Adrian Ward and Alex McLean, a couple of years ago. And it does something which seems very obvious, I think. It tries to connect poetry in that it's both read and spoken, with code, with computer code, in that you execute code and also you get something as a result of it executing. And also tentatively called this Notes Towards a Poetics of Code. I started to feel less sure about making a statement about code, calling it poetic. Also, as was mentioned in the introduction, the curation of this show called Generator, and this attempted to bring together some work which you would see within a conceptual art tradition with some of the emergent work of artist programmers. And I guess you can see the connection to the theme of this debate in that this work you can see as performative in some way. It unfolds in real time, almost real time. Then that takes me right up to a more recent project. This is the homepage of a website called vivaria.net. And this collects together some ideas and some commissioned software based around the idea of how you might start to think of software as exhibiting lifelike processes. My overall approach, I think, relies more on much older references than Derrida et al.
This is a quote from
it relies
the
more on
author
as producer, written in 1934. People like Walter Benjamin. And he's basically saying that in order to have or to demonstrate social commitment or political commitment, the author or artist must think about the relationship to the means of production and the technical apparatus. So this kind of thinking really does underpin the approach to my work. And also I think this event, in that I was told by email that the organizers were much more interested in keeping things in the kitchen and not taking them through into the dining room. My basic question, I suppose, in a lot of my work is whether this kind of approach has any relevance for cultural production at this point in time, using computers and computers that are networked together. I was talking a little bit about the,
as you can see,
this essay, and it relies, the essay relies very heavily on the philosophical work of someone called Jonathan Ray, and he wrote a book in 1999 called I See a Voice.
Embeds human activity into the act.
And these are some ideas connected to that. Aesthetics in general usage lays an emphasis on subjective sense perception associated with the broad field of art and human creativity. Revisiting the troubled relationship between art and aesthetics, this argument is that, like poetry, the aesthetic value of code lies in its execution, not simply its written form. The code performs the work. To separate the code and the resultant actions would appear to limit the aesthetic experience and ultimately limit the study of these forms and what in this context might be better called a poetics of code. By poetics, I aim to imply a critical activity that would take account of other social factors outside of mere sense perception. For instance, quite clearly, there is an ideology to aesthetics that lies relatively hidden and difficult to perceive critically. Revisiting the idea of the limits of aesthetic experience might serve to reveal contradictions between various modes of operation, for instance, between theory and practice, as well as between the intellectual and physical division of labor. These issues are all too easily overlooked in an overconcentration on aesthetic outcomes that are all often reduced to subjective judgment and taste. Similarly, the world of multimedia is all too easy. In discussions of aesthetics, the predominant philosophical legacy has been that any theory of art is predicated on the specific characterization of the senses. It is now generally accepted that sense perception alone is simply not enough unless contextualized within the world of ideas. So I'm trying to describe these limits of traditional aesthetics. They seem to be emphasized in the problem of defining poetry. Poetry throws sense-bound classificatory distinctions into question, as it needs to be both read and heard. Hegel suggests a way out of this paradox by employing dialectical thinking. He says we do not hear speech by simply listening to it. He suggests that we need to represent speech to ourselves in written form in order to grasp what it essentially is. Thus, poetry can neither be reduced to audible signs nor visible signs, but is composed of language itself. This synthesis suggests that written and spoken forms work together to form a language that we appreciate as poetry. But does code work in the same way? Is this analogy at all productive? Poetry, at the point of its execution, reading and hearing, produces meaning in multitudinous ways and can be performed with endless variations of stress, pronunciation, tempo, and style. So rather than chance arrangements, attention to detail in code is paramount when it is encountered in written form and in terms of its execution. However, like poetry, language is used in a highly controlled manner and with subtle nuances. Evidently, code works like poetry in that it plays with structures of language as well as our corresponding perceptions. In this sense, all poetry might be seen to be generative, and that is always in the process of becoming. Even for the surrealist Paul Valéry, a poem entails a continuous linkage between the voice that is, the voice that impends, and the voice that is to come. It is generative and performative in the sense that it unfolds in real time. By analogy, I'm saying that generative code has poetic qualities, as it does not operate in a single moment in time and space, but as a series of consecutive actions that are repeatable, the outcome of which might be imagined in different contexts. Like poetry, the aesthetic value of code lies in its execution, not simply its written form, but that the code and the execution of the code need to be experienced and understood in parallel. So any sense of code's autonomy is subject to its place within its operational structure. In this way, code reflects human activity, and human activity is coded within social and discursive frameworks. Thus, authorship is perhaps characterized in terms of social responsibility to the operating system and to language structures. Clearly, generative media operates in this way too, and appears to encapsulate the paradox of autonomy. Generative art needs to acknowledge the conditions of its own making, its poesis. This needs to be made transparent in the spirit of open process and open source. The title really probably says it all, Generator. It's a description of the person, operating system, or thing that generates. Sounds, images, and objects distributed online and offline generated their contents and possible meanings live throughout the course of the show. So all these works follow rules set, not least by the curators, in that we wanted to select work that followed rule-based or mathematical structures that operated in real time and that addressed issues of authorship, not by deferring authorship, but more through this link back to some of the principles embedded in this Walter Benjamin essay, The Author as Producer. So to try and think about the productive apparatus itself involved in the production of this kind of work. So Generator attempted to place emphasis on these productive processes, allowing the artist, programmer, and machine to be seen to be working in partnership. So addressing some of these very traditional orthodoxies about creativity and emphasizing that art conforms to formal structures and constraints and that computers might be used for manipulating these rule sets. On another level, the idea was to make reference to some ideas about complexity theory in that the relationship between order that which can be classified and rationalized, and disorder that cannot, because it's too chaotic and generalized, does not simply lie in opposition, but rather in a kind of dialectical tension. As you can see, my interests are rather old-fashioned, I think, in that I'm still interested in dialectical methodology. And I'm interested in that very much for the way that it embeds human activity into the act of making. You perform work, and in those relations of production, you can still see various kinds of inequalities, which seem particularly important to make evident, especially when using things like computers, where some of these processes are quite hidden. They're quite difficult to perceive. So for me, looking at generative processes really does demonstrate the potential for things unfolding in rather different ways.